All right. Well, let's grab our seats. There are notes in the back. How we've been doing this. So, if you're new to Restoration, we are an elder-led church, and so what that means is we don't have a primary pastor that speaks every day. So I'm not the pastor; I'm just on the elder team, and so you'll have different people that speak up here. One thing on the teaching team that we've committed to is supplying some sort of notes. You have Justin, where if you read the notes, you got his message, and you're just following along line by line. And then you have Mark, you got just some bullet points, you got a one-pager, it's awesome, it's easy to remember. And then I'm kind of right there in the middle where I'm not going to necessarily follow along, but I want to send you guys with something to bring to your groups to have some discussion. Because life groups at Restoration, we go deeper. Whatever we talk about on Sunday, we take whatever group you're in, and we just try to go deeper throughout the week to ask questions and really stir up reading the word and going deep in the message. So that's what the notes are for. They're in the back. You don't necessarily need them to follow along today, but if you would like to take them home, that's what we have them for. Okay, so we're in a series, The Practicals of Our Faith, and I heard a comment a couple weeks ago. I was like, man, Roy, I feel like we've been in the foundations and practicals for like a year and a half. When are we going to get onto something else? And I'll tell you this, we're going to get onto something else when this foundation is ingrained in us that we can actually start taking it out. So when we start seeing new believers in the church, that's when we're going to stop doing the practicals of our faith and start going deep. Last week we talked about discipleship, we've talked about the word, we've talked about community, and today we're going to be talking about solitude. This is a topic that is very dear to my heart because I'm an extrovert and I don't do this well. And so that's why I drew this straw, is because this is the struggle for me. And so hopefully from my perspective, we can give a little bit more insight at solitude and how to do it. But this laying the foundation of solitude is something that Jesus mirrored in his life so well. When he walked through his life, you know, basically his introduction into ministry was a fast and solitude immediately, and this was later in his life. So in a lot of ways, solitude is for believers that are walking in maturity a little bit, and I'm gonna get into that. So young believers, hear me today, in that a lot of what we're gonna be talking about, I don't want you guys to just hop in right away, because it could. There are aspects of this when we are alone that is a little bit dangerous when we're getting that foundation. But we'll dive into it. So let's pray. Well, Jesus, we thank you for today. I just thank you for Restoration. I thank you for just even technology, that we have so many people watching online that couldn't be with us this morning. I thank you for the body here in the physical. And I just pray that you would breathe on today and that you would allow us to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name. All right. Oh, this is good. So I compare the spiritual disciplines, because this is one of the aspects of the spiritual disciplines. I compare the spiritual disciplines not to the you have to do these in order to be a believer, okay? So it's not that. When we talk about this, we're going to talk a little bit into extremes, but the spiritual disciplines, reading the word, prayer, all those things that we're kind of filtering through the series, they're not required to be a Christian. And so I'll compare it to a marathon. Who's ran a race? 5K, a marathon? Anybody, a couple of you guys? I'm going to put my hand down because I don't like running. My wife trained for a marathon, completed one recently. And the idea is this, is you can complete a marathon with no shoes, theoretically, with no electrolyte packets, with the fancy vest, with the water bottles, all of this stuff. You can do it, but it's going to be a lot harder. And so the spiritual disciplines, I would compare to that, is you're going to have your electrolyte packets and your water bottles and your nice hokas, not a hookah, hokas. that's going to make the race a lot easier, and you're going to be able to do it with consistency. You're not going to come away with as many blisters as you would without those things. So the spiritual disciplines, solitude, is an aspect that if you do it, you're going to grow deeper in your walk with God easier. All right, so number one, how did Jesus walk this out? How did he walk in solitude? So in John 5, in verse 19, and we're in John a lot today. So yeah, go ahead and turn there. It's really hard for me, guys. I have this Bible that I've carried with me. It's ripped and it's stained from coffee. I like to have this. I know a lot of people like to have this. Either one is great. So don't be ashamed if you are on either one. All right, John 5. And it says, Jesus answered them. It says, truly, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does also. And so Jesus laid this out. And this is right after he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. And so he walked in this great healing. And the Pharisees are like, what are you doing? You know, and he's like, listen. What the Father does, I do, because I look to the Father. So out of the place that he heard the Father, he communed with the Father, this is how he got his power. Out of that place of intimacy and relationship, he could see that the Father's saying, hey, I want to touch this guy. He's been at this pool for his whole life trying to get a miracle, and I want to touch him today. And so out of the relationship that Jesus had with the Father, he walked in power. In John 12:49, it says, for I did not speak of my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and what to speak. And this is when Jesus was, again, speaking to a group of Pharisees. And these guys, in their minds, they were afraid to confess. They believed, but they were afraid to confess. And he's coming in the name of the Father, wooing them to say, hey, I am real. I'm coming from my Father. I am here for you. Believe in me because he sent me. There's nothing that I speak of my own. And Jesus is God, but he's laying this out of even him being fully God and fully man, that he communes with the Father because of the physical aspect of his body to then walk out righteousness. John 8:38, it says, I speak what I have seen my Father do, and you do what you've seen your Father. So he's comparing this idea of, hey, everyone has a physical father, and so now for us as fathers, we have a big responsibility, right? That our kids are going to do what they see us doing. And so when we love our wives, when we love others, when we go out of our way to help someone, our kids are going to follow the example that we set as fathers. And so what Jesus says is, if you are looking, I am looking at my Father, which you need to look at, you're going to do the same thing when you look at your Father. So we have a glorious heavenly Father that Jesus walked out. This is what you look at. This is your standard. Because what the Father holds, what I as a father hold for my three kids, is I hold their identity. When I speak who they are, there's something different from when I speak it and when Breezy speaks it. She could say all day, you need to do this, you need to do this. You're a kind, you know, and they're just screaming, they're disobeying, whatever. When I walk through the door after work, and because Breezy and I are on the same page, I know when they're out of line. And I bring correction to that, but when I bring correction, it brings their identity of who they are. If they're disobeying their mother, no, you are a obedient child because you love your mother. Okay, Dad. And so same thing as the Father, when he corrects us, when he at least, we have his, or he has our eyes, he can speak and show what to do, right? Jesus lived his life on the fuel of the people around him. So he was in community, right? Talking about the spiritual disciplines. He was fueled by community, but he also had the quiet place. It's just constant throughout the scriptures of they were ministering here, and then he disappeared into the wilderness for a day. Or they were there, and early in the morning, he got up and went to pray. He found that quiet place to hear from the Father, and he communed with him. If we don't listen to the Father, we cannot know his will and therefore cannot walk in obedience in our lives. Amen? Okay, so that's what Jesus did. Now let's talk about what is the purpose in our lives. We live in a noisy world. There is stuff everywhere. There's social media. There's activities. Like, we live in Colorado. You can have activities for days. You can have the mountain bikes and the snowmobiles and the just the stuff and the things. And everything's a distraction. And so what I want to call it is the noise. And what solitude does in our lives when we commit to getting away and being with the Father is that it reduces the noise. Just the silence of life. And then he speaks in that still, small voice. But we have to allow the stillness to happen in our lives. This busyness, even the relationships, like that's where it's like, don't go with someone else to be in solitude. Go by yourself to get into that place. And it can be little and it can be big, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that, of how to walk it out in just a little bit. But I heard this preacher recently, and he's talking about solitude, and he's saying the noise in our life actually draws us away from God even more than the greatness of sin in our lives. So even the struggle of sin is lesser than the distraction that comes in our lives. So those micro distractions, that's how the enemy woos us away from the Father. It's this little lean that happens of you're busy, you're distracted, you're this, you're that. And then we get consumed with ourselves. We get consumed with the stuff. And then we look up one day and we're, where am I? I don't know if you guys remember that analogy I gave last week about we're in a rowboat and we're rowing upriver, and the momentum of the row keeps us rolling. The second that we stop, we're still going, and our boat's still pointing, but the river, the world, pulls us back gently and slowly, where all of a sudden, the deception of our hearts are, oh my gosh, even though I look like I'm pointing the right direction, even though I look like I'm okay, I am so far from God. So reducing the noise, reducing these micro distractions. Siri's listening to me now. Hopefully they get saved over there. So the spiritual disciplines, again, are fuel for our walk. So leaning into this solitude thing of getting away. So the Father desires to be close to us. And for us to know his voice, we have to practice listening, right? Okay, so earlier in my walk with God, I would say, you know, I got baptized at 7, you know, raised in a godly household, but where I actually started believing in God, I was probably like 17. And I had this encounter of, My life broke, and I was at this place. My dad got diagnosed with cancer. My relationships were falling apart. My body was just shriveled, everything inside of me. I got to the point where I picked up one of my dad's pistols, and I had it to my head. I said, man, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And so at 17, I remember I saw my siblings playing in the other room. This was at my house. And the enemy's just whispering to me of, you're not worthy. It would be better if you left. And then I saw the delight of the Lord on my siblings playing in the other room. And the Holy Spirit broke in. And he radically transformed my life in that moment. And I put the gun down and I went away. My room was away from everyone else in the house. And I went down in there weeping and asking the Father, who do you say that I am? And so in that stillness, when I allowed him to speak through and break through the lies from the pit of hell that I was not worthy, that I was not a son of God, that's where he spoke, is get out of the way, Rory, and let me speak to you. And for so long before that, and really at that, when I started that journey, there was questions in my mind of, God, are you speaking to me now? Or is it Satan again? Or is it myself? And so I had this weird relationship with God speaking to me of saying, I don't really know or trust that it's you. So he breaks in when I'm 17, and he walks me through this of the word with this foundation of the scriptures. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, God, I am knowing who you are. Father, I know who you are because of the scriptures. Your character is on display. Your desire for me is on display. And so now you're speaking to me, and I'm going to trust that that's you because I know you and the boundaries of the scripture. Does that make sense? So he speaks to us, and we have to just trust that it's him and walk that out in faith. Right? Our walk is a walk of faith. And so my encouragement to you, if your question is, Rory, how do I hear God? I don't know if I do hear God. And I'm going to say most of the time, it's probably God. But know the scriptures. Go deep in the scriptures. I'm going to hit on this in just a little bit again. The wonderful thing about the promise of our walk with God, the way, is that we are the only religion in existence that promises a relationship with the deity. Every other way, and I hear that all the time, it's like, if we're kind of going towards God, he's gracious enough that we'll get there. It doesn't matter if we're Muslim or if we're spiritual, whatever. All the ways lead to him because he's a good God. He is a good God, but he's also a holy God. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. So when we commune with the Father, it has to be through the bridge. And so if we know that, that great promise that's within us is the communing with the Father. All right. How we doing? Okay. All right. What does this look like? I'm going to talk to my extroverts first. So extroverts and introverts, what does that mean? Extroverts, they are people that get their energy from community. You need people around you. Like when you feel down or tired, you need people and they lift you up. Introverts, you people are, don't make sense to me, but you need alone time to recharge, right? So I'm going to talk to my extroverts first. So this, my extroverted brothers and sisters, we have got to have this. Yes, we get our energy from people, but if we don't get away in the silence, we miss what God is doing. We are to encourage our introverted brothers and sisters to be with us and be with people and let them lead us into stillness and quietness. I got really convicted about this last year. We live in the most beautiful place in the world. And so we go camping a lot, and so when God was speaking to me about this, I talked to Breezy. I'm like, man, this is a lot to leave you with the kids. And so what we started doing is, if we were camping, I would go out the night before. I'd bring my camper. I'd set it up. I'd make sure there was no one around, and I would just be. Like, everything was turned off. I'd turn off everything on the camper. I'd put away all of my devices. And I would literally sit there and just listen to just the mountain air. And guys, I have never in my life, I mean, I've been a believer a long time, and I've lived here a long time. And the first time this last summer, I felt the pleasure of God in solitude, of just listening. I didn't even open my Bible because I was like, I got out there and I had my journal and my Bible. And I'm like, all right, I've seen introverts do this before. I can do this. And then all of a sudden, God was like, put it away. Put it all away. And I'm like, but God, this is your word. Put it away. And so I sat there with no agenda and just allowed the Lord to speak. And the revelation that he gave me just for me, like it was for no one else. I didn't write it down. I didn't record it. This was a word for me and him alone. And since then, these times of solitude have just been God speaking to me. He revealed my identity. This one time, I was driving to Denver, and I was listening to a book and trying to fill my spirit, and the book just cut off. I couldn't get it going. The app wasn't working. My phone wasn't working. And then God was like, hey, if you'll allow me, I will speak your identity. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so we're driving, you know, on 285, that long stretch of road with nothing around, nothing interesting to see. God spoke the name that he calls me to myself that no one else knows. I didn't write it down, but I have it in my heart now that God has a name for me. Do you want a name? Do you want to hear what the Father, the King of the universe, calls you? Because he has a name for each and every one, if only you will listen. To put away the stuff and allow the Lord to speak your identity. There was so much in me that was turmoil before I heard the name that God called me. I thought that I wasn't right. I thought that I was unrighteous in who God made me to be. But he spoke clearly. Gosh. He spoke clearly of who I was, and now I have that forever. No one can take that away. Okay. Extroverts, get out there. We got this. Yeah. All right, introverts. I'm going to be a little harder on you. So I've had this perception, and I could be wrong, so don't take this as I'm judging you. But because you're bent that way, if you recharge alone, I've found that there's a lot of introspection that happens when you get alone in solitude. And I want to just have a caution for you of, again, when you're alone, leave your stuff, leave just for a little bit. I'm not saying always, but I'm saying allow the introspection to stay at home with the extroverts, and allow God to just speak to you very gently and quietly. He will fill you up, but don't allow your introvertedness to have this perception of yourself that is from you and not from the Father. Just because you know how to do solitude and you need that doesn't mean that you know how to. So I feel like the encouragement for you guys that might know how to do this is let the Father lead you. Let him get into that place where it's not introspective anymore, but it's that communion with the Father. He desires to hear us and for to be heard. And that's what I want. That's what you guys want. Because we need that fuel for our lives. We need that identity for our lives. And he's offering it freely. Okay. Matthew 4. So this is where John baptizes Jesus. The Spirit of God comes on him and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So there was a direct correlation to Jesus' identity that happens in chapter 3. So then, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And then Jesus, he answered, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he's saying, I cannot be tempted in hunger because my food comes from when the Father speaks to me, the words that come out of the mouth of God. Okay, so Jesus hits back with scripture. The devil's like, hey, I know scripture too. So then he uses scripture, and then he said, if you were the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So what's happening here? So first, a temptation comes. And because Jesus communed with the Father, he had an ear to hear what the Father said over who Jesus was. And then scripture started to come, that manipulation of, well, it does say in the Bible that this, this, and this. But because Jesus not only knew the character of God through the scriptures, that he was able to resist that deception. That's why the scriptures are so important. And I just want to, again, I already said, sometimes you got to put this away and let the Father speak. But you have to know this book deeply in order to get to that place. If you do not know this thing deeply, do not go to that place. Have your word. Let the Lord speak through the word, because the devil will come through scripture to deceive. He is the deceiver, and we have to know what the Father speaks. And in order for him to speak, we have to know his character. This is a whole book about his character. I love, guys, my Bible reading and Bible studies have transformed since Lauren talked a couple weeks ago, because the challenge was stop looking up the things that you want to know. If you want to know about identity, stop looking up identity, read the word, and let the word speak to you. That's what we're doing. So on Tuesday mornings, first off, men, we have lots of Bible studies that popped up all of a sudden. Tuesday morning at the BWD office, Friday morning at Two Chicks and a Hippie, Friday evening, Jeremiah is leading a Bible study with the Open Door guys. There are Bible studies everywhere, and almost all of them are just reading the word and letting the word speak to them instead of the topic of this Bible study is this. No, let the word of God enrich you by just reading the word. So stop trying to find, God, I am sad right now. I need to find verses about happiness. You can do that. But first, read the word, because it's his word. And let his character breathe in you. So if you know his character, you can hear his voice. Because all of a sudden, if you're like, I don't know if that was God or not. Do you know who he is? Are you solid in the scriptures? If you're not, let's go back to there and let him breathe. In the garden, I love that in Genesis, it talks about God walking in the garden, searching for Adam. I hate that he had to search for Adam, and Adam was hiding. But God walked in the cool of the day with Adam and communed. There's this glorious thing. This morning is a great example. Breezy came, and I was already up front, and I hadn't seen my kids since I got them up this morning. And I'm worshiping, and I can feel someone look at me, and I open my eyes, and my daughter is just beaming. And she's like, Daddy, it's like, worship's gonna have to wait for a second, because I need my baby girl. And there's a promise in James, and it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So there's this idea of, even though Raya is my child, if she did not look at me and lean in, that draw near, I would not have held her so close and just in the moment said, oh, I'm just going to be with you for a second. And that's the Father's desire for us, is that we are his children. And it's a daily thing. That if you look upon him and if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. If you're feeling far from the Father, I promise you that seeking of the truth, that seeking of his face, if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. So we're going to stop there. And I'm going to have Bethany come up. And what I want to do, I know we're a little early today, but I want, you know what, Bethany? No. Don't come up. We're going to be in silence. in solitude to be with our own thoughts for a second. So I just want to take a couple minutes. Let's see if we can do it, right? 120 seconds. We're all going to be silent. We're going to put down it. We're going to close our Bibles. We're going to close our notes and just allow the Father to speak with us. You can ask him questions. It can go back and forth, but it be you and him. And go.